they are hugely responsive to audience. And have you been in touch with your local advisory panel for the BBC? The BBC does respond to it. I would be writing and emailing and indeed tweeting, because the BBC is, loving Twitter. So frankly, if you get and use any of the social media, you can have an impact. It's far easier now to impact on the BBC than it ever was. That's not an excuse for them, but I'm saying to you that actually you can have your say. And here's another question.
Alex Mathianakis, White Game Channel. I was wanting to make comments in your assertion that you have to go to a senior journalist to ask for the public interest. I would argue that these people are also have conflict of interest, and they would be not good enough. I don't know what the solution, but I would take, for example, in public health, when we want to make a decision that has a huge impact on people, so, you know, to remove them, for example, from places, or to restrain them, we go to a judge. Because as long as a senior journalist still has an interest in the profit of the company, on his career, on the careers, you know, of, he will have a huge conflict of interest. And I find fascinating in Britain that people say, oh, if you declare your conflict of interest, all right. The conflict of interest, whether it's politicians, journalists, public health, doctors, you know, we all have conflict of interest.
Do you want to take this one more question, and you'll take them together? This gentleman here. Oh, okay.
I have a ring of supporters around me, but I think what we're hearing is that there's a fundamental disillusion with the press, there's a fundamental disillusion with journalists in the press, including broadcast journalists, there's a fundamental disillusion with Parliament, and there's a fundamental disillusion with private companies. And there's actually a phrase that encapsulates that, and the phrase is crony capitalism. When we look at other countries, we can very clearly see crony capitalism there. We find it very, very hard to see crony capitalism in our own society, because it actually operates at the top, and to some extent it's institutionalised. You know, we don't have, we worry about street-level crime, and we worry about street-level bribery, but we don't worry about top-level crime and top-level bribery. And surely part of the comments that are coming through is that there is this fundamental disconnect, and therefore this fundamental lack of belief. And we can only deal with that if we have the courage to recognise how great the problem is. And the problem is not simply newspaper journalists. Paul Foote, the late investigative journalist, once heard him say before he died, you can't really be an investigative journalist today, because if you're a serious investigative journalist, the first thing you'd have to investigate was your own employer. And that includes The Guardian, which is only, as people know, if they read Private Eyes, involved in offshoring parts of its account. It includes The Independent, which is run by a Russian crook who wouldn't pass the fit and proper purpose test in any decent society. And these are supposed to be our friends. So how do we actually deal with the crony capitalism that seems to me to permeate British society?
Look, I think I said at the start that my politics has been profoundly changed by my experience of the hacking scandal. And so I'm actually going to say I agree with your analysis. There are unaccountable elites at the top of many institutions in British public life that have not been held to account. And, you know, from the bankers to the police to the Met Police who failed to investigate the hacking scandal, to the ways politicians can evade responsibility through undermining the Freedom of Information Act. All these little incidents combined allow you to make that conclusion, and I don't disagree with much of it. I'd just like to say, for the comrade in the Labour Party over here, I've never met anyone who is more suited to having their own blog and a Twitter feed than you. The one thing I'd say is that my observations of the hacking scandal was it was social media that created a public debate when other sections of the free press were not reporting this scandal and kept the issue alive. And there are, a million people who work in the health service? I can tell you, if a million health workers had their own blogs and Twitter feeds, that bill would not have gone through Parliament.
We've got time for one more question. This gentleman, I'm sorry, he's had his hand up for a long time, so we are going to go to you last, and then we have a few perhaps closing comments from you, Tom, and then a quick mention, because there is a book here which actually is quite influential. We might want to have a few minutes to have a look at. So one last question. Has the mic got to you yet?
Yes, it has. Obviously, when the Love Sitting Inquiry reaches its conclusions, it will have lots of recommendations. How do we ensure that the existing press doesn't deflect from News and use the demise of News International as an excuse to cover its tracks?
Look, well, thank you for allowing me to use your question to do the conclusion at the same time. And it's really this, that there will be a point in time when Leveson concludes and comes up with reforms where all three leaders of political parties will come under unbearable pressure to dilute those recommendations or in some way mitigate against whatever sort of reform looks like. And that is where I think all of us in this room have a role to play. We've got to make sure that there is a powerful voice out in the country that says this is the time for you to implement these reform proposals. And I don't know what's going to happen with News International, but I do think that in the medium term, post-Leveson, after a general election, when political parties have formed a manifesto commitment, the media landscape in the UK will be better if there is a greater plurality of ownership. And I know that's not easy with cross-platforms, people have raised that with multi-media ownership, but my conclusion is that Rupert Murdoch